To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook, Twitter, or MeWe. Good morning. Today's photo of Cave Run Lake in Salt Lake, Kentucky, comes to us from a friend who retired and left the Empire State behind, but who still enjoys going out to sea and who likes to share the wonders of God's creation and the peaceful, easy feeling that one can experience in the stillness that God makes available to those who seek it. My friend shared two photos from their visit to Cave Run Lake, and while both were of the same scene, they each had their own appeal, and I was challenged to decide which one to share. So don't be surprised if we should suddenly visit Cave Run Lake again in the days ahead to show the photo not seen. But I decided to share this one because of the reflection of the sun in the water, and I like the little bonsai-esque tree slash bush that is in the left foreground near the lake shore. Little things can mean a lot, I guess, and sometimes it's the small details and the big picture that make us feel a sense of peace and wonder that reminds us that we are not alone. Yesterday, I shared a testimony of a friend's simple encouragement and how it motivated me to choose an activity that would lead to delayed peace and contribute to one of my goals, rather than taking some free time and using it for purposeless self-indulgence and that would give me some immediate relaxation but would leave things undone and possibly create future crisis. And examining that friendly advice and the implications we could draw from it, I discussed the effect that enablers could have on our lives and how they could knowingly or unknowingly contribute to our worst tendencies and keep us locked in reactive patterns that would hinder us attaining our goals. The discourse apparently struck a chord with one Facebook friend because I got an angry face emoji response. Now, I have not interviewed the friend, but I know some of their life history, and I know they were in at least one relationship that could have been described as codependent because it was marked by episodes of peace and harmony and episodes of anger and strife, as addiction was a central theme of their relationship. While my friend could have felt moved to angry face emoji my post because of they didn't like the photo of the day, I am assuming that my descriptions of how enablers cause us harm while claiming to love us stirred up some old memories of those good old bad old days for my friend, or caused them to be angry for me after hearing how I too had suffered in relationships with enablers. And this culture of fear of causing offense, I could have been filled with worry that I had offended my friend, but when you know the person and their story, you can see that the anger they are responding with isn't directed at you and isn't necessarily a bad thing. I'm guessing, of course, but my friend wasn't angry at me. They were angry at the pain and suffering that people can put each other through. While we can be angry and wonder why people have to be this way, I would point out that the fault doesn't necessarily lie with just one side of a codependent relationship. The problem with addictive slash codependent relationships is that one party or both parties are addicted to a substance or an activity, and the other or both parties are addicted to the other person. One person is seeking pleasure in a thing, and the other person is seeking pleasure in a person. If you can't see it, they are both wrong. A study of the scriptures and an examination of the factors at play here would indicate that they are both worshipping idols instead of God. That's why, even though a new covenant was being established with the incarnation and earthly ministry of Jesus, Christ reminded his disciples that the first commandment was still to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So any relationship between two people, no matter how troubled or peaceful, can only be truly peaceful when both parties are seeking to honor Jesus' great commandment to love God. When God is at the center of a relationship, both parties will live according to his guidance and seek to love, honor, and obey one another with the emphasis on doing God's will for their lives, which would include loving and serving one another. In this scenario, the love of God can flow in a circle where the people send their love to the Lord in worship, receive love from him, and express love to one another continually, instead of being stuck in reactive patterns where there is an imbalance because one party is putting their needs above the other. When God is involved, the couple's focus is on serving him and the other rather than serving themselves individually. That's the way it should be. And my friend's angry emoji reveals that. While they may or may not realize how important our relationship with God is to our personal sense of peace and purpose, they know that the enabler/codependent dysfunctional relationship isn't right. Thoughts about their experience in a codependent relationship made them angry, or the realization that I also suffered in a similar situation made them angry for me. God gave us our emotions to show us that something was not right. Anger shows us that one of our goals was blocked. The goal that is blocked by codependency is a peaceful, harmonious relationship. While Rob Bass rapped about how it takes two to make a thing go right, his lyrics were rather self-aggrandizing, and he didn't really tell us much about having a successful personal relationship. Unfortunately, because we can't make someone do what we want all the time, or make them love God to love me, the goal to have a happy relationship is beyond our individual control. We can only control our side of the fence and be true to the goal of being the person that God made me to be. So in our pursuits to find a peaceful, committed relationship, we should seek a life partner who is committed to seeking the Lord and being the person that God made them to be. If it's too late and you're in a relationship with someone whose focus is not on the things of God, your personal goal to be the person that God wants you to be becomes even more important. God wants you to be forgiving and loving. Your partner without God needs that in their life, and your commitment to be the person God wants you to be may have a tremendous impact on your partner and cause them to seek the Lord and be changed by him. While I'm not advising to stay in an abusive relationship, when we are committed to someone, we take the good with the bad. And if the love is real, we will work together to overcome problems and disagreements to establish a relationship of peace and love that lasts a lifetime. But when things aren't right, get angry that things are not going according to God's design, and get help to institute measures of protection and accountability to break the patterns of dysfunction and to establish a relationship of mutual love and respect with God at the center, or to find peace by setting the captives free. God doesn't want us to suffer in what are supposed to be love relationships. So keep walking and talking with God. He will give you the wisdom and strength to correct all the problems of your life. But you have to take you or whoever or whatever you are worshiping off of that pedestal and recognize his way as the way that is right, and that he is the only one worthy of worship. When you surrender to the Lord, he may ask you to change the way you think, and he may ask you to let go of some baggage that you didn't think you could live without. But even though there may be a period of adjustment, when you walk with the Lord, you realize that burdens disappear, and the path he sets you on leads to increasing peace, love, and joy. This morning's meditation verse, today's Bible verse, is drawn from the New Living Translation Bible Promise Book for Men. This morning's meditation verses are Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, which says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Today's verse reminds us that we need not be alone in this world, and that a companion and friends are a good thing to have for our journey of faith. our loved ones and friends can help us succeed, and they can help us in times of trouble. The confines of a committed relationship and the fellowship of the saints offers warmth and protection. As I stated above, the important factor of our relationships with one another is the presence of God in them. When all parties are in agreement with the Lord and seeking to do His will for their lives, harmony and peace can be the result. Peace with God through faith in Christ, Jesus Christ, should be the prerequisite for all relationships, because it is only when we find the new life that God gives us through our Savior that we can be complete. Only the Lord can fill the God-shaped hole in our lives, and when He does, we can give all of ourselves to the purpose of loving others and sharing the love of God. To give, we must receive. To love, we must know what love is. But today's verse tells us that we are not just to bask in the love of God by ourselves, we are to share the love of God with others. I have recently become engaged to be married, and these verses today comes to us from a book that my fiancé gave me. And quite frankly, when I saw what verses came next in the book and contemplated the fact that I was going to be reunited with her later today, they really ripped my heart out. We've both suffered in our lives, and God has brought us together to help each other succeed, to help each other in times of trouble, and to keep each other warm and to love one another. God is at the center of our relationship, and while we often praise one another, we invariably remind one another that it is only God is the only one who is worthy to be praised. So take the love that God has given you and take some time this weekend to share it with your friends, family, other saints, and your life partner. Two are better than one, but we are only made complete through having faith in the Son. Today's verse, as always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org where I always share insights from prominent Christian counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today we continue to share from June Hunt's Dating Secrets to Great Relating When Dating. And today's section, I shared last night with my fiance one portion of it, asking the question, what are the differences between worldly dating and godly courtship? And much to my surprise, well, not really to my surprise, but to my joy, my relationship with my fiance apparently fell under the guidelines of godly courtship. And that's a good thing, because now we're engaged. So we're going to maintain that. And if you want to see what I'm talking about, go to mtforchrist.org, where they give you a nice side-by-side view of worldly dating versus godly courtship. And for the Christian who's seeking relationships, godly courtship should be the model that we follow. As I said, you can have all kinds of relationships where you're deeply in love with one another, but without God in the center, there's going to be an imbalance, as one person will claim dominance and the other person will have to try to play catch up to satisfy all their needs and probably fail miserably in the process. So we have to put God in the middle of our relationships. And when He's not there, we have to be strong in our faith to follow out our Christian convictions and forgive the other people and to try to live at peace the best we can. That's the truth. Not everyone's going to be a Christian, so we're going to have to practice what we preach by living a discipled life on the Christian path of discipleship. As always, I invite people to check out how to do that. How do you do that? Well, we give you classes. We give you the Victory Over the Darkness class and the Bondage Breaker class. And right now we're doing a series called the Freedom in Christ course, a discipleship course. We just uploaded lesson 6 last night, and it talked all about the battle for our minds. So if you want to check out those or the other discipleship classes, just go to MT for Christ 24/7 podcast and look in the archives to find those lessons. And if you wanted to take a deeper step into the material, you can contact me via email at mtforchrist247@gmail.com. and say, hey, MT, send me the class materials for Victor Over the Darkness or the Bondage Breaker. And I would say that's the order you should go in, is Victory Over the Darkness first, and then the Bondage Breaker. But I'll send you whatever you ask for, free of charge. Why? Because I've discovered what the benefits of applying your faith to the problems in your life and the peace and joy that you can have in the worst of times through our faith in Christ. And that's the wisdom I want to share, how to apply God's word to your life in a real and meaningful way, and to experience the presence of the Lord in your life on a continual basis. That's what we're here for, to encourage that. We also encourage fellowship, as we talked about today in the Bible verses. We got friends, right? So I have a couple friends that we do a Bible study discussion with every week, and I look forward to doing one on Sunday with Arthur and Susanna Sincotti. And if you want to hear our discussions, they're available on the podcast as well, under Bible Study with the Sincottis. And I've actually noticed that some people are checking out the blog outlines for Bible studies that we've done well in the past. So somebody's looking. So I'm assuming it's good material. I know it's good material. We did it. And so the outlines appear on the blog, mtforchrist.org, and the podcast links are right in the blog too. So you can look at the outline and listen to the podcast simultaneously, or listen to the discussion all by itself by just listening to the podcast. Totally up to you. Anyway, thank God it's Friday. We're very happy to be at the end of the work week. It seemed to go quick, but we're looking forward to the weekend, and we pray for everyone to have a good one. So let's really do that and pray right now. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all you've done in our lives. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for showing us the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not only that, but giving us the Holy Spirit to lead us through life so we are not alone and we can be empowered to overcome. Lord, we pray for everyone listening today. We pray for them to be blessed. We pray for them to have provision, to have prosperity, and to have health, Lord. So we pray for those who are suffering from COVID-19 in our lives. We pray for them to be completely healed in Jesus' name. And we also pray for Pat Kilmer as we're continuing to keep her in prayer. Lord, we just pray for a good outcome with Pat's condition, and we're praying for the next good report. And we pray for everyone to share the love of God this weekend with their family and friends, and to rest and or to accomplish what needs to be accomplished, Lord. So we pray for you to be with us all until tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.